and car washes.
Love Talk Radio.
I'm getting ready to go off. I'll talk to you later. Bye. All right. Bye.
First Peter 1 and 15, as he which is holy, which has called you, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in all manner of living. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can do that is when you fall in love with Jesus.
Separation. Separation from sin, separation from the world. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, which says simply, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy, God says. If we expect to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, it makes a lot of sense. We must be holy. Holiness really means being Christ-like. Holiness means every aspect of living for God. It's a privilege to be holy. It's a privilege not to be bound to sin. It's a privilege not to be addicted to alcohol. It's a privilege not to be addicted to smoking. It's a privilege not to be bound by lust and bitterness and envy. It's the most powerful thing in the world that when somebody treats you wrong, instead of treating them wrong back, you can say, look, nobody's going to manipulate me. Nobody's going to tell me how to think. The devil can't make me do this. No other person can provoke me into an ungodly situation. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can respond with a meek and gentle and quiet and peaceable spirit under all circumstances.
Well, don't y'all over there think of, well, y'all say you can't do this, you can't do this, and you can't do certain things.
You don't matter
how long you talk to them. Until they get a revelation of who God is, they're not going to understand what holiness is. This salvation in Acts 2:38 is not a must. I mean, it's not a maybe. It's a must. It's not just an optional way, another plate building to get into and just say you're a believer, but it is the only way to travel and to become a true, full-hearted believer.
Welcome to another episode of Kingdom of God Ministries. We were trying to get on the YouTube. We're going to work on the YouTube and try to get you on. But right now, we just want to open up with prayer. Father God, we just want to thank you. We give you praise, honor, and glory. We thank you for giving us another opportunity to bring your word and to share your word with your people. Lord God, we ask that you touch our listening audience. If there is someone out there that needs prayer, that needs deliverance, Lord, we ask that you touch them, bless them, help us, Lord, to be agents to deliver the word of God in an unadulterated fashion. Lord God, we know that in this day and time there's a lot of Jezebel spirits around. We know that people don't even want to hear the truth. They'll throw it up. When you bring truth, they don't want to hear it. They want a watered-down gospel. They want a gospel that is appeasing to their ears, that tickles their ears. But right now, we're coming against you, Jezebel. We have our sword in our hand. we going to tear you down. You have been taking authority over God's people. You have set yourself up in the throne of God, in place of God, and we're coming against you right now. In the name of Jesus, we cast you down, you foul demonic spirit. We take authority over you right now. Lord God, we ask that you touch your people. Lord God, give them strength. Give them the fortitude to stand up and fight. Not whimper down, not run to the hills, but fight. This is a spirit, and it has to come down. In Jesus' name, amen. So like I said, we're talking about, we will be speaking on, what is the spirit of Jezebel? And I'm going to just give you a little history about Jezebel, and then we will go into our lesson. First of all, I'm coming from the Holy Scriptures, Revelation 2 and 20, where the Lord is saying, but I have this against you, that you've let the woman, Jezebel, say she is a prophet, claiming to be inspired, and give false teaching, making my servants go after the desires of the flesh and take food offered to the false gods. Now, that's over in Revelation 2 and 20, and there is a lot of information that we may not be able to cover, but we're going to try to hit the main points tonight. And as I said earlier, if you need prayer, feel free. We will be taking calls. Call in. Our guest call-in number is 323-375-0849. If you have been dealing with the spirit of Jezebel and you wonder why women, it's prevalent in women. For some reason, this Jezebel spirit attacks women a lot because, number one, it's a seductive spirit, and so it uses women to seduce the men of God, or it'll use a woman to take control and say she's the boss of the house and she don't need a man. So we're going to get into that a little further, but I'm just reaching out to the women, to the men. Men, you can have a Jezebel spirit too, because you can be domineering, you can be controlling, you can be manipulative. So if anyone is dealing with this demonic, this is a foul spirit. It runs people away. It crushes people. It destroys homes, families. If you are dealing with this spirit and you know that this is not of God, and you want to be set free, call in. Again, our call-in number is 323-375-0849, or you can hit us up. You can email us. Email us, and we do answer our emails. Our email address is klgm77@gmail.com. Amen. So who was Jezebel? Well, Jezebel was an actual person. Over in Kings, 1 Kings, Jezebel, the biblical character, first appears in 1 Kings 16 when she marries Ahab, king of Israel. Jezebel was the daughter of Ethbaal, B-A-L-L, the king and high priest of Baal worshiping. Baal worship was closely associated with obsessive sensuality and often involved in sex acts. Jezebel, as a daughter of this perverse kingdom, was raised in an atmosphere where sex was a path to power and influence. Did you hear what I said? Look at Hollywood today. They use sex. They said sex sells. So if they have a product, they got music or whatever, what first thing they do, look at Beyonce at the Grammy. She came out seductive to lure you in, men. And I know you were glued to that television screen. You had to have a lot of power of God to push away from that. It was very provocative. Okay, let's go on. Ahab, king of Israel, was completely subdued and dominated by Jezebel, a type of a modern man. That's why she used sex. She seduced you. She lured you to get you into her web. And once she gets you in that web, she destroys. Jezebel then introduced the worship of Asherah to Israel. see these gods. The god goddess represented the Canaanite culture of the moon god or the moon. It was a power-hungry goddess of love and sensuality. You see that today. They may have called it another name, but it's still the same spirit. She was a hungry god of love and sensuality. Priestess, prostitutes filled her shrines and serviced her worshipers. They had prostitutes set up, Hollywood prostitutes, prostituting themselves just to get the money, just to get the fame. So these young women in Hollywood, same demon, same spirit, prostitute themselves. Miley Cyrus, Beyonce, Rihanna, a lot of the other ones, prostitute themselves, seductress. They can't even come on TV without their breasts hanging out, right? Behind hanging out. It's to seduce you men, and if you're a man of God, you have no business looking at that. It's a lure, okay? The top prophet, Elijah, limits that only, this is what Elijah said over in Kings, he said, only 7,000 men in the entire nation were not swayed by her control. Can you imagine that? 7,000 men, why do you think pornography is so prevalent? When you cut on the internet, it's all over the YouTube, because they want to lure you in. They're seductive. They know if they can lure you in, they can put that impression in your mind. And once that is in your mind, it's hard to get it out. Let's go on. Ashtaroth and Ashtaroth for the Philistines was the same as the Semite at Sarte, both modeled from the Babylonian Ishtar. Her other counterparts are Isis and Hathor of Egypt, Kali of India, and Aphrodite of Greece. The Roman counterpart was Diana. You hear him talking about Temple of Diana over there in the book of Revelation. Indeed, the same goddess in those days goes by the name, and we have a name now, and it's a prevalent church. So see, anytime they take a name of a woman and put it next to Jesus, like you can't get to Jesus without praying to this Mother Mary, wow. You better be careful. They're putting Mary on the same level as the Son of God. And that's the same thing that they did. They put these shrines up of these women, and they worship these women. The Council of Ephesus, 431 A.D., had a cult of Diana, the virgin goddess in Greek, Artemis in Phoenician, or Sarte. Her cult continues in Ephesus until 431 today, and even today. The cult Mary by the Roman Catholic Church, you know that. You know they pray to Mary, Hail Mother Mary. You should be praying to Jesus, not Mary. Mary is not our Savior. Okay? And that is to my Christian brothers and friends. You better do some research on what you're worshiping. Don't send me no hate mail. Put your religion, compare it to the Bible. And see if anywhere in the Bible Jesus told you to worship Mary. Okay? Let's go on. They also gave all other attributes of Diana, such as the Queen of Heaven. Sound familiar? A divine virgin. I'm just comparing this to this religion today. This is what they said of Diana, a divine virgin, etc. She was recognized, and this is effectively paganism in Christianity today. You see how Satan lures, how he intertwines, how he mixes the gospel with the truth to make it seem right? This is the delusion of this Jezebel spirit. She put her doctrine into the doctrine of Jesus Christ, and she mixed it, and you think it's true. So you're going around saying, oh, we just worshiping Mary, but really you're worshiping a pagan goddess. We could think of some other women that displayed. Let's talk about Eve. That was a seducing spirit. And a lot of times people try to portray Eve like she was so naive and innocent. The devil used Eve to seduce her husband. And he succumbed to her because he was weak to her. Let's go on. Delilah. She seduced the Samson, which had the anointing of God in his life, through sex. Sex is a powerful tool. And women, if you are using sex to get what you want, you're acting under the influence of demons. You should not use your body, and this is to my sisters and brothers that is on TV in Hollywood, you should not be using your body, sex, to get what you want. That's control. That's manipulation. What kind of spirit? The Jezebel spirit is born witchcraft and rebellion. She hates God. She hate anything to do with God, but she'll act like she is. Remember what I said in Revelation? I said, I have someone against you. You let this woman, Jezebel, she say she is a prophet, self-exhortation. She exhort herself. God didn't call her a prophet. She says she's a prophet. Most women operating in this spirit, they exhort themselves like, okay, they'll put a title to their name. Madam such and such, or prophetess such and such. And you see a lot of them out there. They all got to have this title to make you think, wow, she's so knowledgeable, she's so spiritual. Be careful. Self-exaltation. The Jezebel spirit is born of witchcraft and rebellion. This demon is one of the most common spirits in operation today, both in the church and in the world, and you see it operating. And I'm going to give you some attributes of Jezebel. It's very, very powerful enemy up to the body of Christ. That's why we need Jehu, men of God, to stand up and not give in to this demonic spirit is taking control. Do you see how the churches have watered down the gospel? Putting in things polluted the gospel? She operates freely on sincere believers whose hearts are for God, individually, and also attain positions of power. Listen. She has to have power because she has to have control. She loves control. That's why she seeks power in the church. This spirit establishes its strongholds primarily, like I said, in women. However, many men have been victimized as well by this spirit, where it functions as a controlling spirit. You see some men, they're just so controlling. It's either their way or no way. And let me tell you something. This is not for these ignorant men to go out and try to usurp authority over their wives. This is for you to work together in a family. God gave the man the headship. That woman should be working along with her husband, not to usurp authority over her husband, but to work with him. You shouldn't have a power play here in your family. There shouldn't be, okay, if mama ain't happy, nobody happy. Mama wore the pants. Stop it. To you Christian women, repent now. If that's how you've been operating, fall on your knees. And I'm not pointing fingers because we all have to do some self-examination. Lord, am I operating in a Jezebel spirit? If so, take this out of me, okay? That's not saying you got to be a doormat, but it's saying that you need to understand authority in the home. The Jezebel is behind the daughter and, you know, a lot of the feminist movement. And I'm for women's rights in a certain degree if it's Christian-based. But a lot of times, a lot of these feminism, they don't even need a man. They say they're the man. They the man and the woman. So they really don't need a man for anything too much. The spirit of Jezebel is basically a controlling spirit, working through the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. It has in general two aims. And let me tell you what their aims are. This spirit. It is to gain identity, glory, recognition, power, and satisfy the need for praises of men. This is a consequence of the desire for love and self-worth, self-focus, self. Look at me. I know it all. I got all the wisdom. I got it going on. Secondly, this spirit is a man-hater. It seeks to emasculate all men and divest them their authority and power over others. It fosters a distrust and hatred of men in general. The Jezebel spirit is constant agitation, terribly aggressive, very determined, callous, controlling, selfish, power-hungry, manipulative, unrepentant, deceitful spirit, an overwhelming evil spirit, and those are mostly only its good points. So, if you come out against Jezebel, you got to fight because they're very aggressive, and this spirit do not like to be challenged. And I'm going to read on how she, this man of God, he was running for his life after he was in confrontation with this spirit. She likes to seduce. She's a seducer. She used her seduction to gain control as a means of manipulation. Or her husband, if she is married, he's somewhere in the background. You never see her husband on the front stage. Jezebel runs the show. Some of these preachers, these women preachers, where's the husband? Do you ever see the man? Do she have a man? You don't never see it. They say, oh, he working in the back. Look, he should be saying something sometime. Now, I know God can use women, but for you never to see that man, she is the spotlight, or if she was married, she's divorced now. Come on now, come on. A good example of Jezebel's personality can be seen as efficient and often plain executive assistant. They like that power because she got to get right up under that CEO, you know, for that power. Because really, God bid if she's a cute one. She could control him and, you know, sometimes they just don't know what's going on. But she could manipulate. That's why she seeks power. Or she'd get right up under the pastor. So she can manipulate. She can control him. And you heard of some people say he got an office wife. You better be careful. You CEOs and you presidents of these companies and pastors, when they start talking about you got an office wife, usually you're being controlled by spirit of Jezebel, and you need to break it. Now let's look at some of her attributes, and then I'm going to turn the floor over. Jezebel is a deceiver. She works in private. People outside her circle hardly know her maneuvering and are easy prey for manipulation. She's a man-hater. Jezebel hates men. She may have one, but her main desire is to emasculate them, tear them down, put them down. God forbid if he's a man of God. Oh, my God. Jezebel is unsubmitted. Jezebel reviles, fights, and show no respect for authority over her. She'll go head to toe. If she feels that, she's going to go at it. You don't know what you're doing. I could do it better. Okay? She dislikes authority, especially of men, since they are frequently the authority figure. She's coupled with rebellion. She hates anyone placed in authority over her. Okay? She's power hungry. Jezebel is extremely power hungry, respecting only power stronger than her own. She disdains or considers herself superior to anyone she perceives as having no power or power less than hers. She's intelligent because she knows how to work it. She's manipulative. She's a hard worker. She's self-worship. She's very jealous. She cannot suffer others getting her attention over herself. That's why I say these people that's praying to Mary, you put Mary over Jesus, you better be careful. She loves attention. She has to have all the recognition. If one gets between Jezebel and the person she is trying to control, she'll attack viciously, or she'll tear that person down, trying her best to destroy that relationship with that person. She will try and destroy his reputation. She's undermining his authority and generally stop at nothing to separate anyone from her intended victim. Men, beware. Women, if you got a Jezebel husband, pray. She's a manipulator. And you pretty much know what a manipulator is. They call her the Queen Bee. Have you heard that? Beyonce Bee. Queen Bee. Beyonce working that seduction. Jezebel demands worship from others. The Queen Bee syndrome. She must have dominance and control in her home. Other family members exist just to please her. Jezebel requires worship from her family and followers to be their goddess. She's domineering. She's extremely authoritarian, bossy by nature. And, you know, we women need to pray about that because that is something that I guess is just inbred in us, but we need to put that bossiness down. She's bossy by nature, though subtly with a low-profile type. She is easily offended if authority is questioned and will often respond with extreme anger. She's a perfectionist, seduction, control, manipulation, possessive, very possessive. She wants control over others. Jezebel loves power. Give me, give me, give me. More, more, more money, more sex, more whatever. Whatever I need to do to control you. She wants power. She's lustful. She has a very bad lustful spirit. She lusts for power with primary whatever means necessary. If it's sex, if it's adultery, Jezebel will do that to get what she wants. Okay? She cursed people. Jezebel cursed everyone unwittingly, bringing a curse upon themselves most of the time. Criticism is a form of cursing, both of the person being criticized and the God and of God their maker. She's a murmurer. She's a complainer. She always putting down, tearing down, cursing people. Oh, they don't know what they're doing. Let me do it. I can do it better. Jezebel spirit. She's bitter. She's resentful. And these are just some of the attributes. You see how we have to pray against this thing? Jezebel, she controls her children. She controls her family. So what about Ahab? One thing to be noticed in these days is that generally there are more women in the church than men. This occurs when the spirit and natural head of the family is the woman, or the man just so emasculated he don't even want no part of God. He just sits over in the corner somewhere. Let the woman run everything. Let the woman make the kids to church. Men, wake up. You need to get that off of you. The couple, Jezebel and Ahab, represent very well our present-day society. You see a lot of women go to church tomorrow. You're going to see over 80% women. Where's the men? Place their authority, either they're at home, and they let the woman lead. That is out of order. This is a powerful demon. If it puts a man of God, Elijah, on the run for 7 years, you cannot fight this demon on your own merit. You need the power of God to help you break that. And that's why I said earlier, if you feel you have this power, this demon spirit that has taken over your home, over your family, you need prayer. We will come in. We will break this demonic spirit off of you. Because when you come to Jezebel. And you confront Jezebel. You got to have the spirit of Jehu. You got to have the power of God where you're going to take her down. And we go toe to toe. Because this is a powerful demon, and she hates to be confronted. Listen to me, church. This spirit hates to be confronted. We need our Jehu. We need men, prophets of God, Elijah, rise up and slay this wicked spirit. First, we must examine ourselves to make sure that we don't have it operating in us. This is how you get rid of it. You examine yourself. And if there's something in you compromising, like Thyatira in the Church of Revelation, Pergamum, we preached on that last week. If there's a compromising spirit that you have allowed this spirit, this Jezebel spirit, this woman prophetess sitting up in your church, controlling your church, take authority over your church now. You have the authority. God set you up there, not Jezebel. And then you repent. If you've been men, if you've been operating in compromise, if you've been controlling, manipulating, break it. Women, break it. You can break it. That's how you get rid of this spirit, and I want to take it out of you. But we got to work together. We got to take up the sword, which is word of God. We got to destroy this deadly enemy because her main goal is to kill, steal, and destroy. And with that, you guys be blessed, and we will see you next week. Amen. Okay, I just put it.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, children of the Most High God. We're talking about what is the spirit of Jezebel. And Sister Montgomery really brought it out, the attributes, how she thinks, what she does, what her main goals are in this life. But what I want to talk about is how we deal with the foul spirit. And it was also brought out, this is a powerful spirit. It is a spirit that thinks is deceptive, deceiving, it lies, and its main goal is against the true and living God and against God's true people. Now, that's what I want to bring out. Another thing I want to bring out is this. Jezebel, that spirit, is not alone. So it's not a lone spirit with all this. It is a spirit that has others connected to it, that has other demon spirits connected to it. You remember, Sister Montgomery mentioned two other devils that had been worshipped at the time of Ahab, King Ahab, and Jezebel, Astarte, Asherah. Now, these were foul demons, false gods that were involved in a lot of, how you say, promiscuity, child sacrifice. All that was involved in this worship. It was. And the reason they did all this is to get these various devils or demons to do things for them. And that was what Jezebel was about. She exercised her power for selfish indulgence, okay, for things to go her way, to manipulate the king and to manipulate God's people and all the people that were under her in her particular kingdom at that time. So that's what she was doing. Jezebel not only uses her power in the secular realm, she uses it in the realm of the church realm. In other words, she exercises her own religion and her own belief. What she thinks is right, what she thinks is righteous, what she thinks is godly. She exercises a false religion, a false belief. a belief that will lead you away from the true and living God. That's Jezebel. Jezebel, many times, is religious. She appears to be churchy. She appears to be righteous, as I said earlier. She goes as a prophetess, but is not a prophetess that's going to lead you to the true and living God. Now, that's the first thing I want to establish, and that she's a liar, she's a deceiver, she's selfish. As I said earlier, and I'm not going to go back into that, Sister Montgomery brought out all the attributes of Jezebel and those around her. So I won't get back into that because it's been covered extensively. What I want to bring out, as I said earlier, is how to deal with her. And first and foremost, this is what I want to get out to you first and foremost, in order to deal with the spirit of Jezebel, you must have a relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You have to have the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob operating in your life. This must be. Because you have to remember, you're not coming up against a single foul spirit, a single demon, but you're coming against a multitude of spirits, a multitude of foul spirits. And these foul spirits are bent on your destruction, and not only on your destruction, but the destruction of the whole entire body of Christ. Now, this is what we must realize, okay? We must realize this. So in order to effectively combat this spirit, you must have God with you, Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus Christ, the Word of God, the Spirit of God operating in you. You must have God in your life. Because this spirit is also, is for one thing, I'd like you to realize, this particular spirit, Jezebel, is coming at you. It's coming at you. It's not going to leave you alone. It will attack you. That's its nature. Not only will it attack you, this spirit is also retaliatory. In other words, when you fight back, it's coming back. You got a real fight on your hand. Whatever you do to it, it's going to come back to you. That spirit will try to come back to you. So what's the end result? You need the Lord to take it out. Why? Because the Lord, our God, our Savior, is stronger and more powerful than anything on the face of the earth. What does the Scripture say? The Scripture says this in reference to Jesus Christ. It says, every knee shall bow under the earth, over the earth, beneath the earth. Every knee shall bow. It says, every knee shall bow. That what? That Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord over everything. Every name is subject to the name of Jesus Christ. Jezebel is a name. It's the name of a foul, evil spirit, but it's subject to Jesus Christ. Now, if you don't have Jesus Christ in your life, you can't deal with this spirit. You can't. It will eat you up, eat you out. Men, women, everybody out there, if you're dealing with this spirit, the first thing you need to do is repent and get saved and get the Lord in your life. Once that happens, then you can have some authority over this evil spirit because you are now operating under the authority of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to bring out some things coming straight from it. And so, Matt, going out, You have to make a choice. Do I want to continue to be under the thumb of this foul spirit? Do I want to continue to be controlled by this spirit? Because that's what it is. Do I want to continue to be manipulated by this foul spirit? You have to make that decision. Because if you don't make that decision, then you really won't have the strength to fight this thing if you're wavering back and forth. You got to make a choice. Now, I'm going to bring out something to you. And what I want to bring out is common. I'm bringing to you common scriptures, but I want to bring them to you in a different light because I said you have to make a decision. Once you make that decision, then you can effectively fight the battle and you can win because your mind is stable, is stationary, is sober. Whereas you can effectively have the correct mind to fight this thing because it deals with your mind also. Remember, it's seductive. So it's not just seductive sexually, it's seductive mentally also. All right, now I'm going to bring out something. 1 Kings 18, and I'm going to start with 18 and 16. No, 18, yeah, and 16. So Obadiah went to tell Ahab. Ahab went to meet Elijah. When he saw Elijah, Ahab said, "Is that you, you troublemaker of Israel?" Now, Ahab is interesting because Ahab was one of the most wicked kings that was ever over in the Middle East, over in Israel. He was the most wicked king, married a wicked woman, but he said that Elijah was troubling Israel. What was Elijah doing? Elijah was telling Ahab and Jezebel to get their house in order, to repent and worship the Most High God, and to Ahab, that was trouble. And that's how a lot of Jezebel people think. When you come to them with the truth, you're a troublemaker. Well, you'll have to be a troublemaker. We'll have to be troublemakers because we have to tell the truth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We have to do that because if you don't, then you're not pleasing the Lord. You're not obeying the Lord, and God will not be pleased with you. And if anybody, I want to please anybody, it's going to be the Lord. All right? Elijah answered, "I haven't troubled Israel. You and your father's family have done this by disobeying the Lord's commands and following the various Baal gods or demon gods or demons. You're worshiping demons. You're the problem." Elijah told Ahab, "You and Jezebel, you all are the problem because you have brought all this evil into the land." Elijah tells Ahab, "Order all Israel to gather around me on Mount Carmel." You're getting ready to know, sir, but I'm going to bring some more things out. "And bring the 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table." Remember what I said earlier? Jezebel is not alone. Now, in this instance, she has 450 prophets of Baal, the devil, and 400 prophets of Asherah, another god, that she brought from her homeland of Tyre, who eat at Jezebel's table. In other words, Jezebel was taking care of all these different prophets of the kingdom. Jezebel was taking care of all these folks. They were staying with her. She was feeding them. She was taking care of them. She was paying their bills. Her and Ahab was doing that. And they were introducing satanic worship to God's people. And Elijah stood up to them. But let me bring up something else. Ahab sent word to all the Israelites and brought the prophets together on Mount Carmel. Elijah stood up in front of all the people and asked him. He said, how long will you try to have it both ways? He said, when are you going to make up your mind? You can't be compromising like this. You're going to have to either serve God or you're going to have to serve the devil. There's no in between. I'm saying this, and it's true. If you're not serving the true and living God, you are serving the devil. There's no in between, people. It's either heaven or hell. It's either God or the devil. It's either Christ or the devil. There's no in between. You know, there's no purgatory. There's no compromise in this. You're either with the Lord or you're with the devil. You're either with Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob, or you're with Lucifer and demons. That's it. I don't care what anybody tells you. That's it. It's like life and death. There's no, you know, you got this coma or whatever, but even in a coma, you're still alive. Even when you sleep or unconscious, you're still alive. You're not dead. But once you, it's either life or death. Now, when you're living, you're living. When you're dead, you're dead. You see. But when you start getting into that, there's a distinction. But what I'm trying to say is there's no in-between. There's really no gray area in this. It's either black or white, you know. That's what it is. And when you really get into the study of colors, you'll see that black and white is really, they're really not colors. They're just shades. Shades. So that's what you got to deal with. So there. Now, Elijah put the people and the king, and the people and the government and the religion of the time to the test. He told them, you can't have it both ways. If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal is God, follow him. And when he said that, the people didn't say one word. There wasn't a peep out of the people when he put them to the test. When he told them, look, you're going to have to serve God or the devil. But if God is God, you serve him. But if Baal is God, you serve him. And that's what Elijah did. Elijah told the people, I'm the only surviving prophet of the Lord, but there are 450 prophets of Baal. Give us two bulls. Let the prophets of Baal choose one for themselves, cut it into pieces, lay it on the wood. But we're not going to set it on fire. And I'll do the same with the other bulls. Now, Elijah said, now, you know the story. Well, maybe you know it. Some people don't. Elijah told these false prophets, it was 450 of them, but it's really more, it was 850 of them. Elijah told them, say, look, you call on your God, and I will call on the name of God. Say that I who answers by fire is the real God. So what Elijah was saying was, look, you go through your ceremony, you go through your service, you have your church, your false church, you do whatever you need to do to get your God to answer. But what I'm saying, Elijah told him, say, the God that answers by fire and eats up this sacrifice is the God that we're going to serve. Now, okay, y'all go first. Elijah said, you go first. I'm just going to sit back and I'm fair. You know, I'm going to let you all have the first swing at this thing. I'm going to let you all have the first swing at this thing. But the God who answers by fire is the God that we're going to serve. And all the people answer and say, that's all right. That's fine. We can do this thing. We can do this. That's what the people said. That was following after Jezebel and Ahab. That was worshiping all these false gods. Elijah told the prophet of Baal, choose a bull for yourself. Prepare yours first, because there are a lot more of you, so you all need to go ahead on and do it first. Fix it up real good, because there's a whole bunch of you. Call on the name of your God, but don't set the wood on fire. They took the bull. He gave them, prepared it. Call on the name of Baal from morning to noon. They were calling on their demon god, the god that Jezebel introduced, that false god that Ahab and Jezebel introduced. They don't answer us, and there was no sound. They danced all around the altar that they made, still nothing. At noon, Elijah started to make fun of them. He said, shout louder, y'all holler louder, maybe he don't hear you. Since he is a god, maybe he's thinking, relieving himself or traveling. Maybe he's asleep. You have to wake him up, so holler louder, dance longer. So they shouted out, cut themselves with swords and spears until their blood flowed. Now, that's what their ritual called for, and it's still the same today. People who are involved in a lot of this false stuff, they like to draw blood, because they draw blood, and this draws these various demons and foul spirits to them. Because remember, the devil is about what? Killing and destruction. So his demons are about killing and destruction and shedding innocent blood. So when they get out there and they do these things, these various demonic spirits will come to them. But these various demonic spirits wouldn't come to them then. Why? Because God was on the scene. The devil is not going to stand in the presence of the true and living God when God is there. You see, that's why we need the Lord, because the enemy does not desire to be around Jesus Christ, doesn't desire to be around the true and the Holy Ghost, doesn't desire to be around God. So that's why we have to have God in us, because God and Christ is our only true defense and our only offense. It's God. It's Christ. It's the Word of God. Now, one thing I want to bring out is the Lord answered, I'm going to cut it short, the Lord answered the prayer of Elijah. He came down. He lifted up the sacrifice to the point where it didn't even exist. The bulls, the stones, the water, everything that was there, God took it completely. He ate it up completely. God answered Elijah's prayer. Jezebel's false prophets hollered, screamed, cut themselves. They did everything that their ritual required of them, but their God didn't show up. Their God didn't make a peep. Their God didn't do anything, because their God is false. God is the true and living God, and he is the one that we need to fight this Jezebel. We must have him. We must have the spirit of the living God move deep down within our heart to fight these demonic spirits. Now, one thing I want to bring out, when we're dealing with Jezebel, we have to have set in our mind to fight and fight to win. We have to be effective with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And we must have this. We must use this. We must use God's Word. The Word of God. The Word of God. Jesus Christ incarnate, the Word of God. So when we're using the Word of God and Jesus is alive in us, we're coming at this thing through the authority and the power and the spirit of the living God. Jezebel can't stand, but Jezebel will fight. She will try to attack you, but you are the winner in Christ. But it's got to be in Christ, people. In Christ, don't yield to her and her tactics. Use the Word of God. Use prayer. Stand on the things of God. Stand on the authority that Jesus Christ has given you in his Word. First, you need to repent. First, you need to get saved. Get filled with the Spirit. Get filled with the Holy Ghost. Get in your Word. Pray. Fast. You're not dealing with some little imp here. You're dealing with a major demonic spirit that's been around forever. It's been killing people forever, and it wants to kill you. It does. It does. Jezebel wants to kill you. He wants to take you out. That's what he wants to do. That's all he wants to do. That's all this spirit wants to do. And I say he because his spirits, I want you to know, is genderless. Demons, they're genderless. They're neither male nor female. They just manifest through whichever way that's easiest for them to manifest. So if it's a woman, they'll manifest through a woman. If it's a male, a man, they'll manifest through a man. If they're feminine, they're feminine because that's the way they can operate and destroy. If it's masculine, that's the way they operate or destroy. But they're neither male nor female. I'm going to bring that out. So Jezebel is just a title or a name of this particular demonic spirit. And that's how it works. Seductive, and it's easier to work through women because they can seduce easier and quicker than men. Men can. Men operate through masculinity through things of strength and power. That's how they work through men. Now, I want to bring out that when you're dealing with this spirit, you have to realize what you're dealing with. Now, Sister Montgomery brought all the attributes out of this particular spirit. I brought out some attributes of this particular spirit, but you have to realize that your victory is in Christ Jesus. Everything that we come up against, our victory is in Christ Jesus. It's not in ourselves. It's in Christ Jesus. It's in Christ Jesus. It's in Christ Jesus. It's in His Word. It's by His Spirit. It's by the things that we keep in our heart in reference to the Word of God. That's what it is. You see? So when we're dealing with this Jezebel spirit, whose main goal is to corrupt and destroy the people of God and pervert the Word of God to make you feel that you are really worshiping God when you're worshiping devils and demons, that's the goal of Jezebel. She is against everything of God. And to be truthful, every foul spirit, every demon is against anything of God. But this particular spirit goes after the leaders, goes after the head, goes after kings and princes, goes after pastors and bishops, evangelists, people in leadership position, because if she can get them, then she's got the body. If she can get them, she's got the group. So she's not going after just one. She wants to destroy the whole body. She wants to bring everybody into a false religion. So I want you to remember that. So we've got to have Christ in our life, especially now, when the enemy is coming full force against God's people. So we have to stand our ground. We can't compromise. We have to be strong in God, strong in Christ, and strong in His Word, and know her when we see her. Now, I'm getting ready to close. Now, thank you all for tuning into the broadcast. I'm going to do a prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we lift up your people, Lord, that they would have the strength to stand against this foul spirit. Father God, we ask that you pray and touch them, that they will lean on you all the more, that they would grow deeper and deeper in the things of Christ Jesus, that they will have the mind of Christ more and more in these last and evil days. Father God, we ask right now, Lord, that you touch them. Keep them, Lord, in your mighty word. Keep them in the way you would have them to go, Father, in Jesus' name. Father God, we ask right now, we come against all spirits of depression, oppression. We come against foul spirits of infirmity. We bind them up and we cast them out right now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We ask that you all be with us on our next program. We're talking about what are familiar spirits on next week. We ask that you join with us. I appreciate and I thank you all for listening and watching on today. Be blessed, be blessed, be blessed.